Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of Vern on Baseball. I'm your host, Josh Vernier, coming to you live from one of the way too many spring training games out here in Arizona. Our first guest is reliever Ian Kennedy, the 35-year-old entering his 14th year in the big leagues, a career that started as a highly touted prospect in the New York Yankees organization, a part of a big three with Phil Hughes and Jabba Chamberlain. And he entered a rotation that already featured Hall of Famer Mike Mussina, known as Moose, and five-time world champion Andy Pettit. And after stops in Arizona and San Diego, he and his wife Allison, along with their now six children, are in their fifth year in Kansas City. Ladies and gentlemen, Vern on Baseball with Ian Kennedy.
Do you feel like you owe the game anything? Like, what does the game mean to you? What has the game of baseball done for you?
Obviously gives a lot of opportunities that in life that I probably wouldn't have been able to do if I would have gone to USC, which entails I would have met my wife and a lot of different other things, but like a lot of things, the experiences that you am able to give my kids, you know, the financial stuff that comes with playing, you don't start out doing that, but it comes with it when you play, and a lot of guys that came before you that did sacrifice a lot when it came to the strikes or allow for us to get either guaranteed contracts or just your health care so your family can get taken care of, all those different things. And then as you're playing professionally, it's really like Dayton talks about all the time, it's about growing the game. That didn't really hit until probably as I started playing longer. That's what I think about. And then, like, as you get older and I've had so many good veteran guys that would say to be involved in player association meetings or just being like understanding that part of the game so you can make it better. I mean, it's good for all of us and financially, all the above, but sure. I mean, without baseball there'd probably be a lot of things that, like I said, that I can't even think of that I wouldn't be able to do. And
right, you mentioned your family, and you know, when guys talk about their careers, you know, a lot of them say, and I don't know if you're like this, but you don't look back on what you've done on the field until you're done playing. But do you look back and, I mean, you're always acknowledging, like, how fortunate you are. Mm-hmm. But, like, even when things were tough, just how all those little things turned out to be what, from the outside, appears to be a very nice life with you and your family.
Yeah. You always grow in the valleys, not so much in the peaks. Whether it's in life or whether it's on the field. And I feel like, I mean, when you're in those valleys, you don't feel like you're like, I don't know what I'm learning. Like, it's just stinks. Mm-hmm. Like, not to be very good at something I really enjoy. And when I was in New York, there's, you know, like, what the mental strength coaches or went to the mental coaches that they have is, it's like, hey, you're going to get better. You're going to be better by doing this now. And you're going to take off after this. Because I stunk, and I'm like, I get it. Like, yeah, I believe that. I'm going to be stronger from this, and I'm going to learn from it. But a lot of us go, I mean, almost everybody will go through times where it's hard to be consistent. You have good years and you have some bad years, and you just constantly go back and forth. You have some good years back to back, a couple of years in a row, and then all of a sudden you stink, and you have some better years than others. And a lot of that could be team based. If you're on a good team, usually you do play a little bit better. My best year came when our team went to the playoffs. I mean, when you looking back, I wish I would have taken time, especially after the season or whatever it was, to realize how special it was. I was so early in my career where winning 21 games, as I got older and I started playing a little longer, and I realized, man, that was pretty special.
Yeah.
I wish I would have taken time, a little more time, and realized this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And really being thankful. Some players can do it. I just, it took me a lot longer to figure that out.
So you're able to take that advice that you wish you could
have? Yeah, I wish I would have, yeah.
And you utilize that as a ball player and as father, all that stuff?
Yeah, okay. Everything. You know, take it in, this is, especially with kids, everything grows, they grow up so fast. And we'll look back at videos or pictures, gosh, the time flies. And sometimes it's not so great when at home where you're I just want to go to bed. I just want to get the kids to bed, and I just want to sleep. But then, this isn't going to last forever. That's what Allison does a really good job of understanding that, not living so much in the moment, but thinking of the big picture, this is not going to last forever. We're going to wish they were wanting to get in our bed in the morning and waking us up.
Yeah, they're going to be too
gone.
For you,
yeah, so, they're going to be gone. And my parents, they always say that. I can already see it, with Nora, our oldest. She's getting so much bigger.
How old is she?
She'll be 9 in April, so she's 8. She's in third grade.
Well, that's crazy.
Time flies.
I'm watching these old videos, just getting ready to sit down with you, and, there's one that's on YouTube after your first start in New York,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking about Mussina,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, man, when I first came up, it wasn't the best time maybe to pick his brain because he wasn't pitching so well.
I actually came up to replace him.
Is that another one of those things where you look back and you can't even believe where you're at when you got a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I had... Playing on that team, period. I had so many guys. There was a moment where I sat next to Andy Pettit, sat next to Johnny Damon, and Jeter was in front of us, and we were talking. And I was in the middle. I was 22 or 23, and I'm looking. I'm like, it was in September. That is 07, and I'm looking. I'm like, I was just in college last year, and I'm sitting playing with these guys. They're talking. I'm just sitting there. It's almost one of those moments. Then I got back in it. I was surrounded by future Hall of Famers, and then Moose just wanted he. He thought it was going to be his last year, which ended up being his last year, and he wanted me and Phil Hughes right by him. I thought that was so cool. I kind of just watch more than I ever really pick brains. I just kind of watch guys.
You can learn a lot doing that.
I'll pass down different things that I learned by watching Andy Pettit, because Andy was on a different level, like a big brother. Took me out to dinner, did a lot of different things. I remember he yelled at me for trying to pay for my own meal. We were in Kansas City at the Plaza, and I went to pay for my own. He's like, you put that away. If you're eating with me, you're never going to pay for anything. And I remember thinking, okay.
Yeah, right.
And then watching Andy actually do it. Hey, you should win on the days you have your A stuff, even your B stuff. When you have your C stuff, or even worse, what can you give the team in order to a chance to win? You pitch with a lot of C stuff a lot. And every time I looked up, into the seventh or pitching at least to the sixth, he just was so competitive. And also another thing I passed around that I still pass on to younger guys, you're going to constantly kind of, whether you like it or not, you're going to be a little different than you are 4 years from now, 3 years from now. And I've noticed just by pitching, and CY and I would talk about it, how different we are. That's what I think is every 3 or 4 years, Moose said, he had to develop either something different or to do something different just to pitch well. And I've noticed that with myself, pitch usage.
And the game forces you to change,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, otherwise, that's why I think guys phase out. They can't adapt.
Were you ever, because I was talking to Montgomery about this, when he was young in this organization, mm-hmm. he had the, I got it all figured out, no thanks to any advice when I'm a kid. Did you ever go through that?
Brave? My first year, I made up so fast, no matter what I did, nothing really changed. Mm-hmm. That was 07, made it to the big leagues, and then 08, I started to struggle. Then they start trying to change you a little bit. I didn't have the best attitude, but also some of the criticism kind of came a little bit differently. Mechanic-wise, they tried changing me, and it was and I didn't understand why. I mean, there's a lot to learn when you're getting thrown into the big leagues. I went to the off season, and went back working with Tom House again, and he's like, "Why'd you start doing this stuff?" I'm like, "I'm trying to appease and do everything that they're saying, because if you don't do it, you're not going to move up, or you're going to think you're uncoachable." And he's like, "Let me talk to him." And then I went back to pitching how I always pitched. So it wasn't like a mentality of like, this is how I do it. No, it was more like, I'll do it to help, like just like there's a fine line of being coachable, but also know who you are.
Because you're the only one out there.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's not their career.
So does your confidence get shook during that when they're trying to change what you've
been? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
2008 was a hard year to grow as a pitcher, as a man. I had to say some stupid thing, whether it be like one little thing to the media, they can take that, especially in New York, they take that rather than the whole rest of the interview.
What was it?
I said something like, because I was throwing the ball in AAA really well. Mm-hmm. I think I had like a 1.9 in AAA, and in the big leagues I had a 9. Yeah. Right. I have thrown the ball well, and then like this game I did not. And I got knocked out early, and I can't remember what I said, but it was like, basically they turned to them and said, like, I didn't care. First, I didn't win any time in, not literally, but like any time that I had a start, whether it be good or bad, like, I was too confident and too arrogant, and then now I don't care. And I'm like,
yeah, that's the media's game. That's how we always win. Yeah. That's what we do.
And I'm like, and then I remember like Andy talking to me. He's like, do you think? I was like, no. I'm like, Andy, like, listen, I don't care what these guys think. Like, they're going to write what they want to write. And he's like, yeah, but it matters. Like, sometimes I was like, no, it doesn't. Like, so I know fans are going to read it and all this stuff. I'm like, but ultimately, it doesn't matter what they think. I know I did not do good yesterday. They twisted the story a little bit, and I might have said something bad, and they used that. And like, now I don't care. Like, no, that's obviously not. Like, I love this game. I love to play. And so I even had coordinators saying, I don't care. And because I didn't want to play winter ball. Just because it was that hard of a grind of a year. Right. I was like, I don't want to play right now. Yeah. This is wearing on me.
Yeah.
And saying that, and I don't care. Like, I give my whole life up for this. Put a lot of things on hold my whole life. Yeah. Experiences that a lot of people do that, you know, we can get hurt, whether it be skiing, snowboarding, all these different things. It was really good to grow up quickly. And then I was traded to the Diamondbacks. That was like a completely different story, where not many beat writers and really like not out to get you. And I had a wall against the media. And so that was really tough. Being in 22, 23, and just...
And there's still got to be somewhat of a wall.
Yeah, it's not down. Like, and I think now that I'm older, I can handle it. But it was just coming from USC to that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, the confidence thing, this is the one I always ask the young kids that are making their debuts in the big league clubhouse, because I always like to see how they react. Because I ask, you know, when was the last time your confidence was shook? And sometimes they're like, you know, never. I'm like, come on. Some of them will be honest about it, because this game's just endlessly trying to beat you down, especially when you're young. Does that still happen this deep into your career? Do you remember the last time?
Oh, yeah. When I was, it was a couple years ago, when I was pitching through injury stuff and trying to do it, I was like, man, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Like, I can't push through an injury. Maybe I need to let it heal completely. Mm-hmm. And then then all of a sudden, like, gives you this, like, oh, you're good. You throw well. And the next time you don't, you're like, gosh, when's this thing going to go away? And it never does. And the next thing you know, the season's over. And then you look back and you have terrible numbers. But, like, yeah, like, you have a couple of, like, just being real, like, you have a couple of bad outings in a row. So I'm the enemy. But the enemy always wants to put a little bit of doubt and, like, you can't do this anymore. Yeah, like, a couple of years ago when I was starting. And then just adapting and trying to... That's if you don't adapt, like, you start to wonder if you can. And it takes a lot of faith in order to try something, see if it works. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. But it's hard when, especially like if a guy's done so well through the minor leagues all the way through and struggles at the big league level. I mean, very rare will they just be like, their confidence isn't shook. But you always will, they'll usually get through it. Just give them time. There's a lot of guys who've never struggled. I mean, I was one of them who never really struggled until the biggest stage of a place where you've always wanted to be. And I just had a discussion with Lynch about it. He's talking about performing and if you have a bad outing, like getting through that. And I was like, well, if you pitch long enough, you're going to have bad outings.
Right, right.
And it's not like it's the end of the world. This is when you have a couple string in a row and you figure out why. If it's the same thing, like you've got to fix it. But otherwise, if you're doing your thing, and I said, for the most part, like someone like you, you fix, it's like usually it's just one flaw or, I mean, really, like you're not getting ahead of guys and that's how you get beat at the big league level.
Right. How crazy is it that you mentioned Lynch, I was talking about Singer earlier, you know, these are like the big four for this organization coming up. I mean, does it feel like just yesterday, the big three, and Phil and Jabba, does that feel like 13 years ago?
No.
Right.
Not at all.
I mean, 07 doesn't for me. We're about the same age.
It doesn't feel like it. No.
That's crazy.
We were talking about it, and Allison and I were talking about, like, gosh, it goes by fast. I've been in their shoes where you go to camp and, yeah, like you said, me, Phil, and Jabba, we were the guys. And we had some other guys on there that lumped in that three because there was a lot of guys like Tyler Clippard, other guys that I played with in AA and AAA that were really good. And they either didn't get a chance or they just injuries took. This happens.
But even those three, I mean, you're standing still.
Yeah, and it's like
getting guys out still.
And then when, fast forward on, I was in Arizona, they always wanted to talk about Skaggs, Corbin, and there's one more. I'm blanking on. I don't remember him even making it. But, like, Skaggs, Corbin, and they talked about, like, you know, if they're in the rotation, you have you, Daniel Hudson, Wade Miley, and Corbin and Skaggs. And I kind of don't want it, like, because it's not fair to them.
Yeah.
Because reality is that they might pitch for a little bit. It's really hard to, like, that's what we believed. Like, we're going to be part of the Yankees' future. We're going to be part of the Andy Pettit, Mariano, you know, that Jeter, Posada, and that's how they kind of painted it. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be awesome. Like, I saw it, thought I was going to be Yankee forever.
Yeah.
And I was the first one traded. Yeah. I told some of those guys, like, listen, I don't want to put, like, labels or I want to put, like, think that far ahead in the future. I know that some guys, like myself, I succeeded right away, didn't succeed, and then you go somewhere else and you succeeded. I just go to a different team and have the same success, but just on a different team. Yeah, they may all come up together and debut around each other, but then someone may go off and we may trade them. Things happen. Like this, guys that I come up with that were really good never made it, or they make it with another team. I am just as happy watching them do that because that's the ultimate goal, is to play in the big leagues from when you're little.
I mentioned we're about the same age. I'm just a little bit older. I just got married. Haven't even started a family yet. And yet you got six kids, correct?
Yeah.
Was that always your plan? Were you guys wanted to have a
family? I think that was Allison's plan.
Okay. All right.
When we were dating, she'd always say like four. I was like, maybe three. And we were playing like a newlywed game recently this off season. Yeah. It's like, how many would you say your husband wanted? And like I went on there and I wrote two, and the guy was like, wait, you wanted two? But I mean, as you have one and two, three, four, and I'm like, as it goes on, it's like, I know, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
How does baseball make you a better dad?
I don't know. I just find it like when I'm home, make sure I'm home. Like I'm not doing other things. Especially I feel like now technology is always like, they always talk about the phone.
Were you ever
really
like
struggled with that, but
zero in like baseball 24/7?
No.
And then that had to change?
No.
Okay.
I had hobbies that
because you know, fans, a lot of fans in some media were like getting playbook in football.
Yeah.
Always be focused.
No, I was not. Yeah. Like I think it's healthy to have, you need somewhat of a break. I think if you dwell on it, I mean, those guys go crazy when they go home.
Right.
But for me, I always had other things, whether, like, you know, later on in life it was golf or so it's like when you're outing, like, you go hang out with the, like, it's another way to hang out with your teammates on the road. I didn't really do it much at home when we started having kids, but, yeah, like, other things. So, like, now when I go home, like, I'm just dad.
Is there a trait of yours that you hope they all have as they grow up? Is there one that you hope that they don't?
I see it in some of my girls, but like just more of like the scatterbrain, constantly be reminded. That's a trait I don't want them to get.
Mm-hmm.
But Allison's really easygoing, like laid back. So like, so am I. that's something that, like, I want our girls and Isaac and Eli to have.
Well, what do you think? Because I have to imagine that whatever trait has allowed you to, I mean, outside of health, you know, that's key. But, like, whatever traits kept you as one of the best 250 players on the planet for 13 years, whatever that trait is, I would have to think that that's something that you would want to pass on.
And that's something that Allison and I have, more of the, I mean, the drive to be the best that we can be. I mean, especially in sports. Like, she's really competitive, and so am I. It's cool to see that, like, that part go into our kids, competitive part, and be passionate about it. And whatever you're doing, whether it's whatever sport they play or whatever art project or whatever it is, it's fun seeing have a little bit of competitiveness. I'm really competitive, and I'm really passionate in, like, the gifts I've been given. And that's, like, my praise. So I'm going to go out in the field and give everything I have, and then I can sleep at night. If I don't, those are the harder nights where I didn't give my 100% in that pitch. Yeah. But if I did, I threw it, I was convicted, I just made a mistake. I'm human. I can sleep.
Oh, that's a great trait.
Yeah, that's a trait. Also being really consistent and being reliable, so your teammates or your classmates or whatever it is can rely on you. Like, they don't have to worry about you slacking off. They know that you're going to have their back. And that's how, I mean, that's what I take on the field. Like, you know that I did the work in the weight room. You know I went to the training room, the scouting reports, all that sort of stuff. And you don't have to worry about that.
Well, I find it crazy, and we can wrap this up. Like, what you said early on about Pettit and Moose, like, that's how on the radio I describe you, is, like, even if he doesn't have, especially when you were starting as well, like, even if you didn't have your best stuff, that dude, he was going to grind through five or six for those guys. Even if it wasn't going well and you were getting beat around, give me the neck, I'm coming right back at you. And, like, I just find it interesting that the guys that you've shared a clubhouse with, you know, they'll be telling those kind of stories about you, and I think that's a testament to those traits that you just described.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That's, like, that's, to have my teammates say that, it'd be, you know, like, they know when I get the ball, I'm going to get everything I have. I would love for my kids to have that same thing. A couple maybe not. They're still young.
Yeah, right.
But and Allison is the same way. She might be more competitive than me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's everything.
So she's yelling at you on game night? The newlywed game thing or the dating game?
Oh, I mean, it's like she wants to win every time. Yeah, right, and I'm like, it's just a game. Right. Like, I can differentiate from a board game or a newlywed game, whatever it is. But, like, on the field, that's different because newlywed game, there's so many different factors.
Right. Yeah, you're just trying to get it right.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
And then sometimes I'll play just to be funny, and she hates it. Right. She's like, we're trying to win.
Well, I appreciate the time, man. Very generous with it, and looking forward to the season. Well,
thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.